Good to see everyone here this morning. I started to speak out when Dave asked where everybody was at, and I said they probably heard I was speaking this morning. But I want to take a few minutes. I want to thank you for your attendance, and those that are visiting, we really appreciate you being here. Being able to come before you and open the Word of God is a privilege and a pleasure that I find in my life to get to do once in a while. This morning, I want to start off with a question. Who do you put first in your life? Who's number one in your life? Who do you look to as that person that's number one in your life? Is it that spouse you've committed your life to, you've been to for a period of time? Is it those amazing children you raise? Or for some, those grandchildren are about to come? Or is it the job you put first? Is it your hobbies? Is it your friends? Where does your life, what do you focus on, what do you see as being the point of focus in your life? Who do you put first? How many of you dream of a great accomplishment, of being first? Being able to go out and run a race, or play a ball game, or do something to where everybody looks at you, and you're number one, and you're first. Everyone wants attention that comes with being great at something and being recognized. But the question is, how much do you focus on that? Where is your thoughts when you look at that? Excuse me, I'm not used to having this up here, so bear with me, I'll have to catch up. The key we need to understand is not to place ourselves higher than others, but to remain humble. I've heard some people say, well, if you don't take care of yourself, nobody else will. And I disagree with that. We have to do things. We have to do things as we go through life. But there's one that we need to put first because he will always be there for us. He will take care of us. We need to remain humble in what we do. We all at one time or another in our life have dreamed of that great thing. Competition is good because it makes us stronger. But when you take out competition and everybody gets recognized, it makes us weaker. And that's why it's important that we remember who that one person is that should be first. And that we do the things we need to be to put him first. In Luke 14, 8 and 9 it says, When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. If we put ourselves on too high of a pedestal, if we look at ourselves in a way that we put ourselves better than others, we're disgracing ourselves. We need to have humility, as the Bible teaches us. We need to remember that what we do for God. What we do for the love of God and love of our fellow brothers and sisters and mankind. To do the right thing. This last week, we celebrated the 4th of July, the Independence Day of this country. We recognized our soldiers, we recognized our veterans, and the selflessness that those people give for us every day by defending and keeping the freedoms that we enjoy. Do you know individuals that have to be first at all costs? We look at those, and it's sad with the focus they have. But I want to tell you a story. There was a young man in July of 2010 that joined the military. He was 21 years old. And in November of that year, as a Lance Corporal, he ended up going to Afghanistan where he was deployed in the Marjah Helmand province in Afghanistan. And he was on a mission with the military and was attacked. They were attacked from all sides. And they were defending themselves to save their lives to live another day. And during the middle of this battle, A hand grenade was thrown in the midst of all of the people that he was serving with. Without thinking, he threw himself on that hand grenade. No thought for himself, not putting himself first, but putting those around him first. And when he threw himself on that hand grenade, he lost an eye, messed up multiple parts of his body, but he survived. He came home, months of care, never a regret for what he had done. Lance Corporal Kyle Carpenter, at that time, was the youngest Congressional Medal of Honor winner. He was recognized but didn't seek it. It sought him. He was recognized because he thought of others ahead of himself. And that is important. Without putting himself first, without thinking that it's all about me, he thought of others. And that's what's expected of each and every one of us. People that think of themselves first have a hard time submitting. They also have a hard time with humility. And on top of that, they have a hard time caring for others because the only person they think of is themselves. And when that's all we think about, our life is miserable and it is sore. But I will tell you that God's first. He has to be first in our life. He is the friend that will never leave us. He was the friend that always be there for us. He is the one that we should look to. Because of him, we are here and have opportunities. In Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, verse 15 and 16, it says, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. And then I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess." God gave Israel everything. He was there for them. He never looked back. He provided. And just as A.C. said, it's interesting how things happen. Joe's scripture reading this morning about the birds of the air, not worrying. Neither do we. God will provide. He will take care of us. And that's what we need to remember. No matter how bad we think it is, he's there. He will provide. He will take care of us. This does not mean that everything will be perfect and that he will provide everything we think we need. It's not about what we think we need. It's what God knows we need to make us stronger, to make us better, to make us the Christian we need to be. There's many a times in my life I thought I knew exactly what I needed, where I needed to be, and that didn't happen. And later I can look back and go, someone much smarter, more able, and better than me put me where I needed to be for a reason. And that's what we should all look at. God is always there for us. What we need to remember is God never leaves us. We leave him. It's up to us to come back and remember how great he is. Just as in marriage, if we invite God to be a part of our marriage and follow his commandments. I think I'm preaching to the choir here. Our marriage is amazing. Our life is better. Everything we do is better every time we invite God to be part of it. We follow the rules. We follow the things he set up. I don't know about you, but I'm one of the luckiest men alive because I didn't pick my wife. We grew up together. I guess you could say I did, but we lived around each other for years, never thought of it. The right time, the right place. I didn't think I would be, but my mother pushed me until I was there. And guess what? The best gift I could ever have was the wife that I have. And probably most of us could say that same thing. Something happened to make it fall in place. How do we put God first? I want to cover three topics this morning on how we should handle things to put time for God first. The first one we've talked about a lot lately. We need to focus on these three areas as we put God in our life. The first one's time. Our time. As Kevin said, it's something that all of us have. We may not all have the same amount, But it's important. And how you use it, how you wisely use it, makes the difference. The second one is our decisions. The decisions we make every day affect our life, affect our destiny, and affect our eternity. And the third one is our relationships and our love for one another. All of these are key and important elements that God tells us about in our life. And we need to make sure that we track these and we keep God in our life and a part of it. Let's talk first about time. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 14 and 15, it says, "You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who you are all around, you, all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth." God demands absolute commitment. He demands, God wants all of our time, all of our love, and our pledge to Him. Not a lot, just everything. And He deserves it because of everything He's done for us. He's a jealous God. And He does not take that relationship lightly with us. God takes notice of all of our words, all of our actions, and what we do. I will tell you, going back to marriage, if somebody told me a long time ago it was very wise, a little jealousy in the right way in a marriage is not a bad thing. It makes sure you pay attention. It makes sure you listen. It makes sure you do those extra things you need to do to keep a marriage wholesome, strong, and good. Too many people get married and think that's it. No. Just like God's relationship with us, it's one we need to work on every day to make it stronger, to make it better. How we spend our time says a lot about how we value our relationship with God. Our relationship with God should be the most important thing in our life. I will tell you that somebody told me a long time ago, and I believe they're exactly right. If we get up in the morning and start our day with God, His presence will remain with you all day. But if you ignore Him in the morning, it's hard to bring Him in your life as the day goes on. Because we are in such a busy society, we're thinking about so many things we have to do. You start with God in the morning. Start the day in prayer. Start with reading a scripture in order to find your peace, your strength, your knowledge, your love, and the value of this relationship. He's given us these things for a reason. And the best time to start is when you're fresh, when your mind can focus, when you can have a little peace to sit and listen. Marriage requires time and commitment to be successful. In Ephesians 5, 31 and 32, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is the great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." All of these pieces tie together. Our love for our wife on earth, who we can see, who we spend time with, if that commitment's not there, how can our commitment be there for God? Because He tells us where our heart should be and how it should be set up. We cannot take for granted our relationship with God. Some people I've seen over the years, "Oh, I've got plenty of time. I'm not worried about it. I'm going to live to a certain age." As we heard this morning, nobody knows when the day will end. When will be your last moment? Waiting could cost you eternity. Strong relationships and performance in anything we do takes commitment, dedication, and time. By providing our time in prayer and study, we will have a better connection, find peace, and we'll see the bigger picture. We'll see the picture that should be important to each and every one of us. So the key is, don't waste time. Value, cherish every minute you have. Because if you don't, you may miss it all. And that's important. Our decisions. We make decisions every day, some more than others. But no matter what you do, you make decisions every day on what you're going to do, how you're going to handle things, and why. Placing God first in our decision makes a process. Making process is critical to our life. Why? We should always consult the Bible in every situation. It's the rule book. It's the book that gives us our direction. It tells us what we need to know. It helps guide us to be where we need to be. In Psalms 119, verses 105 to 107, it says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgment. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word." As David has laid out in these verses, seeking the great wisdom of God will help us through any situation that we have if we submit. It's important, it's crucial to make sure that you have a knowledge to where when things happen, it's not a reaction, it's an action based on training. If we try to make decisions on our own, we increase our chance for failure. We need to rely on the Lord, His help, His strength. Let me give you an example of something I read about I thought was very interesting. When it talks about God being the light to my path, there was a tribe in Africa that developed a perfect lantern. As they traveled through the woods and the plains, they had problems in the fact that they would trip, they would fall, they would hurt themselves. And they built these lanterns, and in their wisdom, they tied them to their feet. So therefore, they could see the path in front of them at all times. But they forgot one thing. What about the limb in front of us? What about the bush we run into? What about the other pieces? It's important to have the whole picture before you make a decision and put something in place. I don't know about you making it in real time. Growing up, we spent a lot of time on the farm and out in the woods. And with that flashlight, there was many a times before I got smart enough to realize that I was pointing it at the ground trying to see what was in front of me. As I smacked myself, I hurt myself. And then I realized as I got a little older, let's pull that thing up a little bit. It'll shine everywhere. Well, God's the light. His word will shine for us. It will help us. It will help keep us from danger. In Psalms 90 and 12, it says, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." We continually need to understand, new understanding, just as Moses did. No matter how smart we think we are, no matter how good we think we are, we can always learn more. We can always see things differently. I had heard a conversation this morning between two people that said, "You know, I really never saw that before when we read that scripture this morning that way," and talked about it. That's how we learn. Focus, study, continue. There is more. This is more than just more talent, more mortality. Value our time by using it for an eternal purpose. Don't just sit down and say, "Well, I'll make a quick decision." Make the right decision. And if we continue to put God first and help with the decisions, He will work wonders through our lives. Some of you will remember a few years ago, there was a phrase that came out, WWJD. Became a lot of issues surrounding it because there was bracelets that came out, and people having issues with it. But my point to you is, think about the meaning of those four letters and the words they have. What would Jesus do? If every time we made a decision, we thought about that, we reached back to the scriptures, we looked at what was there, it would be amazing how well and how much better we would be versus depending just on ourselves to do things. I will tell you that it will help us stay calm, level-headed during times of great stress and frustration. Working in healthcare, I hear a lot of people throughout time say, I have to have a surgery. I need to know my surgeon. I need to know everything about him. That's the most important thing about the surgery I'm going to have. I will tell you, that's really not true. The most important person in the room when you have a surgery is the anesthesiologist. Putting you to sleep's not a problem. Waking you up, maybe. And that's where you want somebody that's good, that's strong. Not that you don't want a good surgeon, but everybody forgets about the second one. It's 95% sheer boredom, 5% mass hysteria. And how well they're trained during that mass hysteria or that time of trial makes a difference on whether people live or die. How well you've trained yourself, how well you have used the Bible to gain knowledge, to understand, get on your knees and pray to the Lord and ask for help. That's what will keep you straight during a time of trial and trouble when you think it's more than you can handle. It's more than you can deal with. God does not allow us to be tempted with more than we can handle. That's what we always need to remember. It's just like flying an airplane. I was trained by a gentleman that beat on me and beat on me because he was an Air Force colonel who flew jets. And me being a Marine, he thought he would have fun and give me grief. And he beat on me, and he picked on me, and he gave me grief, made me read, made me go back and look at things. I'm alive multiple times today because I learned what the rules were, and I learned to stop, think, and act instead of react. That's what our decisions need to be in our life. Stop, think, and act. Reacting is usually the wrong thing to do. It gets us in trouble more than we realize. So as we have the opportunity and we make decisions, let's don't forget the most important person, the most important part of our decision process should be with God. Our relationships and love for one another. I don't know about you, but my church family is the most important family I have. Not that my earthly family is not important, but you're the ones that help me. You're the ones that keep me in line. You're the ones that are there. When I start to stumble, I start to fail. And that's crucial. In Mark 12, verses 28 through 31, it says, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first of the commandment is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" God's first. God's the greatest. But to show our glory of God, glory for God, we need to love our neighbors. We need to love our family. We need to help them. We need to be there when they need us. We need to put others first in all cases. If we look at ourselves first, we'll never be able to aspire to what we want to do. God is love, and through Him, we must show the same love that He's given to us, to everyone else. We must work, always be willing to extend a helping hand, show the love of Christ. That is crucial. We should always be thinking of others and praying for them, helping them when there's a need. I learned something early on, and some of you have heard me talk about this. Early in my life, Jill and I barely were getting by, lived in a town 22 hours away from our family, but we had a church family. She was pregnant, 8th month, fell down a stairway, got hurt, but luckily the baby was okay. A member of the church who had the ability, and his comment to me was, "When I was young and needed help, a fellow Christian was there and helped me. For what I was paying for a one-bedroom apartment, he rented me a house to where Jill wasn't climbing stairs. We didn't have to worry about the child, all the things that happened. If you can't help your brothers and sisters, who can you help? What good are we if we can't help each other? We must live without a haughty and selfish heart. We must have a giving and a loving heart. We should always be thinking of others. We should also be joyous for the good fortune that falls on our brothers and sisters and what's bestowed upon them. I've known too many people that get upset. Well, you know, they just bought a new car. Didn't they get a new one last year? Be happy for them. They had this, and I didn't. Well, you know, be happy. Be happy for your brothers and sisters. Love them. Take care of them. And in Ephesians 4:32 and in chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, "And be kind to one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." What greater gift could anyone give than their child? God gave it to us. How can he not be first? He thinks of us. He's there for us all the time. Love of God in our heart will draw us closer to God and make us much richer than anything on this earth that we can have. The richness in your heart, the love for God, makes us strong. It makes us better. It gives us hope. And in Luke 6:35, it says, "But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." Be like our Father. Be like him. Be like the example. This love will make us more like God and Christ, as we should strive, and will bring us closer to them. One thing I found, I think, that kind of puts all this in perspective, and I very rarely quote Hollywood actors, because most of the time they're full of themselves and they think about things other than what we need to. But Denzel Washington said it best to the graduating class of Dillard University in 2015. If you've not seen this, it woke me up. He said, "Put God first in everything you do. Everything that I have is by the grace of God. Understand that. It's a gift. I didn't always stick with him, but he stuck with me. God's always there. Finally, I pray that you put your slippers way under the bed tonight so that when you wake up in the morning, you have to get on your knees to reach them. What better place to start the morning than on your knees?" Why? As he goes on and says, "And while you're down there, say thank you for the grace. Thank you for the mercy. Thank you for the understanding. Thank you for the wisdom. Thank you for your parents. Thank you for love. Thank you for kindness. Thank you for humility. Thank you for peace. Thank you for prosperity. Say thank you in advance for what's already yours. True desire in the heart for anything good is God's proof to you sent beforehand that is already yours. When you get it, reach back and pull someone else with you." I don't know that I can say it any better than that. Everything that he quoted, God gave us. It's there for us. We just have to reach out. We have to study. We have to learn. We have to strengthen ourselves. Be Christ-like. I think it summarizes what we need to know. Why should God always be first in our life? Well, I think we've hit a lot of reasons in our conversation this morning. God has done everything for us and asked very little in return. Could you ask for more than we have? More than we have available to us? A life eternal? Giving his son for each and every one of us? He gave us his only son. That perfect sacrifice. Nothing else could come close to show the love that he gave us. He has been beside us from the beginning and forgive us if we only ask. He doesn't hold a grudge. He doesn't remember. If we ask for forgiveness, he wipes the slate clean with a true heart. We need to study. We need to learn. He is first because he does everything for us. We are powerless without God because we are weak and sinful. We are a sinful people, and it's only through him and his grace that we have hope. when heaven is over. I have found that when we make God first in our lives, He is the best friend, and we are better for it. Tell me of someone, think of someone that's a better friend to you than God is, that's better for you, that's better for your life, and better for your mind, better for your family, better for everything you do. With God, love is in my life. There's no question. His thoughts are in my mind, which makes me stronger, better, and the person I should be. If I use His wisdom in my decisions, I may not have what I want here on earth, but when life's over, hopefully, I will have the chance of eternal life with Him by living a life to shine and show His greatness and His mercy for each and every one of us, and hopefully to help bring others to Him. And last, we will always be victorious. It's through His grace, but put Him first. He's our best friend. He's what we all should be looking forward to, is being here with Him when life is over. So I ask you today, where you're at? Where is your life? Who do you put first? Look around. Me, the person you should put first is the one you should wake up every morning. The first person you talk to, the first person you read about, the first person that ever loved you. And that's God. He's always been here for us. He always will be here for us. It's up to us to choose. He will always be ready. It's up to us to choose Him because He gave us free will. And you need to ask yourself, where are my thoughts? Where's my time? Where do I spend my time? And how do I make my decisions in life? And hopefully they're the right ones. If there's anything we can do to help you this morning, the baptistry is ready. The water is there. The joy that would happen would be beyond measure, not only here but in heaven. And if you haven't put God first in your life, if that's not been the focus of where you are, we're here to help you with anything we can do for you. If we can help you in any way, please come forward as Brother AC leads our song.